About two-thirds of the way to the back from the front. If you're not as familiar, a neighbor will help you, I'm sure. Just a few verses here at the end of chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 24 to 7. I'm going to read the even-numbered verses, and I'll ask you to read in unison the odd-numbered verses. Looks like most everyone who's game has found it. So here we are. This is the Gospel of our Lord from Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Thank you. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Oh dear, we don't seem to have my right slides. So let's just close those. It looks like none of our slides have transferred. So let's just close that because obviously I don't have what I need. But let's go ahead anyway with these verses. I can imagine that Peter was quite excited. He had just returned to Capernaum with Jesus. And although they weren't staying long, I can imagine that, like you and I, being in his hometown was a joyful experience for him. But as he probably found, as we always find, you can never really go back because the place changes when you're away. And Jesus had taken Peter and his brother away, and they had been gone from the place for 3 years. I imagine much was still the same. Not a lot changes in rural areas in 3 years. If you're from them, you know that like I do. But indeed, some things do, and people notice. And isn't it interesting who notices who that Peter is back first? It's tax collectors. Oh, we're not too surprised, really. You could send police and detective to find someone missing, but if they owe taxes, they're going to get found. I've noticed it, especially with this thing called the 407 that runs north of us. It doesn't matter if you have a license plate from Australia. If you're on their scanner, they'll find you. And they'll send you the bill. Because even when no one else can and no one else cares, people who need money have a way of finding who owes them. Isn't it the truth? Sometimes a little frightening, the claws of the CARA are very large and wide, and they know who you are. It's almost like the eyes of God looking down on you, isn't it? But indeed, that's the first people who approach Peter. "Hey, Peter, welcome back." Oh boy, I know what's coming next. "So does your master pay the drachma, the 2 drachma tax?" You know what it's for, of course, Peter. It's for the temple. It's for a holy purpose, Peter. It's a wonderful thing. You know how in Exodus the Lord told Moses to instruct us that this was the way worship should be maintained and that every male is to give toward the sacrificial system, because that's our link to God. God created the system so that we can be close to Him, so that our sins will be covered, and all of us need the covering, so all of us need to give. We give because we need God's covering. Oh, yes, this is a very good cause, Peter. I sure hope your master pays it. I sure hope you will too. Oh, you can feel the squeeze. You see, there's 4 points I want to bring out today that I think surface from this simple little story. It's easier for us to get stuck on that fish with the coin in its mouth. I mean, I don't know, I've been fishing and I've never caught a fish that had a coin in its mouth that was for the specific amount that the Lord said I was going to be blessed with. Have you? But that really isn't the point of this passage. Something else, something bigger is at work, and the fish is just an incidental sign. And so is the coin. You see, the people in that time were focused on getting what they need. And ain't it true that all of us, whether we work for the tax man or we work for ourselves, we're focused on getting what we need for us so that we can take our trips, so that we can do what we want, so that we can have what's all in our best interests. And when we see this coming, ugh, what a turnoff. But yet four important things come out of this story. And the first is right here in the uncomfortable interaction between Peter and his friends. Number one, giving is what worship requires. From the time that God decided he would have relationship with the humans, there has been a sacrificial nature to it. We give something. We bring to God what he wants because it's what's due him, because he's the creator who gives us everything anyway. And when we come to worship him, giving should always be a part of what we do. Not because we're all about sustaining an institution, but because from the beginning God has said, come and offer sacrifices. It is a sweet smell to my nose. It shows me that you value me more than the things you give. Giving is what worship requires. Peter dutifully answers yes. And then he goes into the house, and no sooner than he hits the door, well, it says Jesus immediately starts to talk to him. And what does he say? What do you think, Simon? Who do you think the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes from? Their own sons or others? Oh, Jesus, come on. Even an 8-year-old can answer this question. We all know who the rulers take from. They take from other people, and they keep it for themselves and for their family members and for their closest friends. We're dominated by Rome. That's what they do. They literally take 25% of everything every season. That's why we're bled dry here, Jesus. But Peter restrains himself. He doesn't give that answer. He says, well, that's from others, of course. Indeed, the two words that Jesus used here are very significant, and they're translated differently. But one of them is the word for customs. Now, sometimes we like to drive down to Buffalo and Niagara. And sometimes we like to go shopping. And we pay close attention to what the rules are on how much worth we can bring back with us without paying customs, right? Jesus uses this word customs because Israel is part of the grand empire, part of the blessed world where there's lots to have and lots to move. And when things cross the borders, there's someone waiting to say, hey, what you got? How much did you pay? Show me your receipts. Has it ever happened to you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what it's like. You want to go get good deals, don't you? That's right. Money is used to get good deals. But the government being what it is, doing all they do for us, thank God, wants to make sure they don't miss out on any of those taxes. They're so good at that. I tell you, what a system. The other word that Jesus uses for collections is poll. A poll tax is much like the 407. It's a use tax. And when you're traveling, you're on their roads. You see, one of the brilliant things about the Roman Empire was that they knew how to build roads. And I wish my slides worked, because there's a great picture of a Roman road built in this time period that still exists today. And maybe you've been to parts of the world. They knew how to make roads. I wish our roads lasted that long here, but they seem to have potholes every other year. But in Rome, you could drive on them for centuries because they put it where they were supposed to. That's why when you were walking down the road using their avenues, there was a tax. Someone's got to sustain this thing. I love the 407. It's always in good shape, isn't it? Why am I talking so much about that? I guess because it applies here, doesn't it? Indeed, they took care of things, but they didn't care at all. They just took. And there was more taking in Rome than there was care. But they're still around today. And the fact is, that's how the world still works today. There's a price to be paid. Peter says, yes, Jesus, yes, they take it from others. Others like us, because we're the conquered peoples. We're not the leaders, so they say give, and all we can say is, how much? Yeah. Maybe Jesus is thinking about what it means to give, because just a few verses before this little scene, he told his disciples for the second time in a row, I'm about to go to Jerusalem. I'm about to give. I'm about to give way more than you realize. Jesus is bringing in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God doesn't take from others. God causes his own children to pay the price. God's own son will foot the bill for what's going to happen here. And the real irony of this passage is that Jesus is asking, in the world, you take from other people. But in the kingdom of God, God takes from himself to make a way for the payment to be made. And without saying it again, Jesus has just hit Peter and the disciples with the crushing reality of a debt they cannot afford to pay that Christ will pay on their behalf. You see, this drachma tax was meant to sustain the sacrificial system, but Jesus was going to give his own life. The king of the universe was about to pay, and it would be enough that no payment would ever need to be made again. Two drachmas seems like a pittance, doesn't it? And herein lies the second point of this precious passage about giving. The Son pays. The Son of the King of the universe pays. No other leader pays. All other leaders demand other people pay. But God says, I will take care of the bill this time. You don't have to live in fear of being hauled into slavery. You don't have to live under the vice of those who can take your soul. I will purchase the price for it. Maybe you're here today and you've never understood the relationship between God and Jesus, but here's the deal. Jesus is the precious Son who comes to pay the sacrificial price so that you and I can be freed of the things we really owe God for our mistakes. And when we plead for his payment on our behalf, his forgiveness because the debts are canceled because of what he has done, then we get to go free. Have you experienced that freedom? Maybe we should pray right now. Father, the kings of the earth, even the rulers we elect, they take. And we've learned from them what it means to be on the take. And there are too many times we take for ourselves. But you, Jesus, you walk the glorious road that we may also follow in your freedom that you've purchased. Some of us here today have never asked for your forgiveness, the cancellation of our debt, for the wrongs we've done. We would enter into that now. We believe, Jesus, that you are the Son who pays. Forgive us our debts. Let your Spirit liberate us to walk joyfully in your kingdom with confidence and not fear and dread. Thank you. Amen. If you're here today and you've prayed words like that for the first time, I hope you'll speak to me about it. It's a beautiful day when the debt gets canceled. It's a meaningful moment in which your spiritual life is about to accelerate in ways you never expected. But those are only two of the points that come out of these simple little verses. Third one goes on. After hearing Peter's correct response, the rulers take from everybody else. Jesus says, let us not offend. Let us give. If money is what they want, then money is what they shall have. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, he'll say just a few weeks later, and give to God what is God's. Let us offer no offense to them. Let us not think that we're here just to create social anxiety and rebellion. Let it not be said that we think ourselves better than them. Let us be sure that we give everything everybody else gives, and we humbly accept whatever's put upon us. For God is over even them. So Peter, yes, you've answered correctly, not just to me, but to the people who found you outside the house just a few moments ago. We will pay. We will not offer any offense. And here's the third point about giving when we walk with the great debt payer. We give whenever we're asked. Someone says, we have a need. We help. Someone says, I have this bill. We try. We give what we can. We do whatever we can. We give whatever we can. Because when we walk in the kingdom of God, it really doesn't matter. It's not ours to begin with anyway. And we can't keep it. The story is told by Leo Tolstoy of an old woman who had a garden. And these were hard times in central Russia in the middle of the 1800s. And the woman had a garden full of food, but she also had neighbors who had no garden and no food, and it was a rough year. And she decided she should probably give because that would honor the Lord. But there came this one rutabaga. It was her prime rutabaga, and she wanted to make sure that she had that, and no one took it, and no one stole it, because desperate people take. They just do. They always will. So she took that rutabaga, and she uprooted it, and she put it in her house, and she hid it under her bed. And that night, she had a dream. And in the dream, she felt that she was dying. And the Lord had come with his angels. And the angels came, and they grabbed her hand. And she was so happy. She'd be delivered from hunger and pain forever. And she started to rise up. And as she rose up, suddenly there was tension. And she looked down, and in her other hand was the rutabaga under her bed. And the angel was pulling to take her to heaven, but the rutabaga was very heavy. And suddenly she realized, something has to give. I either have to let go, or I have to let go. And when she woke up the next morning, she took it as a sign from the Lord. Things we hold so much can be the very things that keep us bound to the earth. The things that we value so much can be the very things that will keep us from his glorious kingdom. It's free for the asking, but there is a price. I don't know what your rutabaga is. Maybe it's been many things across the years, but the truth is, number three, giving is what we do. It's what God calls us to live. It's how it goes. Whenever we're asked, we do so. And so Jesus, not having a drachma in his pocket, says to Peter, Peter, I need you to do something. Why don't you go down to the sea, take a hook, not a net. I know you're a big fisherman. You're used to catching scads. Just one hook, edge of the water. It's daytime, I know they come up at night, but it's day. Just do what I say, one hook in the water. This isn't the time. I know it's your trade. You know better than I do about fishing. I was a carpenter, you were a fisherman, but just do it, okay? Put the hook in, the first thing that grabs the line, yank it up, open its mouth, there you'll have it. It will be enough for you and for me. See where we're going? Jesus says, whatever your occupation is, go and do it. Go and do it now. Work hard. Do your best. Even if it seems a little unorthodox to the way you like to do things, do the work I've given you. And when you do, you'll have everything you need to pay everybody you gotta pay. Have you ever been in a position where the amount of expenses was getting way up there and the amount of income was like this? Oh, I don't know. I suspect some of you have, even if you don't want to admit it. This is life in the first world, in the 21st century. It happens. And what is Jesus' recipe? Get out there and work. Do what you know how to do. Do what I've gifted you to do. Do what time and circumstances and the place I've given you in your life to be born. Give everything you've got. And when you do, Peter, it's going to happen. Why? Because my eyes are upon you. And it's a need. And it's going to flow. That's how it rolls in the kingdom of God. Give just what you're supposed to give. Everything you can, and it will work out. And here's the fourth point. Peter was to take the tax money, give it to the people who wanted it. He'd get the fish, food at least. See how God is providing for his daily need, as well as everything else unexpectedly? How often it works like that. Ted was a friend of mine several years ago, and Ted had been working hard to find a job. He knew exactly what field he wanted to be in, but he could never cut the right break. And then finally, he came to me one day, he said, George, I'm so excited. I got this job, and this is what it is. And he told me all about it, and I was so thrilled for him. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to take my entire first paycheck, and I'm going to give it in the offering. Because I've prayed, you've prayed, God took care of me, and that's the way it needs to be. And I said, Ted, that's awesome. I think if you do that, you will be keeping alive a principle that the Lord said from the very beginning. The first fruits of your harvest that comes, bring it to the temple and offer it as an offering. I don't want your leftovers, Ted. I want the first. I want you to give me everything right up front and then watch that I don't make up the difference. And the fact is, that's how God's been at work with his people from the beginning, if only they had the ability to see it from his perspective. If God really is the giver of everything, then the first check we write off of our deposits should be the one for God's kingdom, whether that's in a local church or in a Christian ministry or a parachurch organization. God's work comes first. I'm glad to tell you, Ted's still in the job, and he's really doing well. And I don't think that's a coincidence, because in the kingdom of God, that's how it works. Do exactly what your occupation leads you to. Give me the first fruits, whether it's of the crops from your fields, the fruit of your trees, even in dedication, the first fruit of your womb, like you did today, my friend. Whatever I give you, give it back to me for my purposes, and you will see that that's how economics works in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom you're used to living in, it works exactly the opposite. I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of my bills. I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of my obligations. And then when I come to church, what's left, I'll thank the Lord for. And so Peter went, and sure enough, a fish in the daytime at the shore on a hook with a coin. Unbelievable. No, not unbelievable. That's how it rolls in the kingdom of God, Peter. And because you've done that, because you've placed the king of the universe at the front, and you paid it right off the top, you have food for today. Your needs are met now. And that is the end of that. So I suppose it comes down to, how does that apply? Oh, I don't think I need to tell you how it applies. I think I just did. I think the scriptures spoke for themselves. Amazing when they lay out like that, isn't it? One of the inserts in your bulletin, well, the only insert in your bulletin from which we sang the opening hymn, has on the back a little chart. I give it to you for your own personal enrichment and information. And I want to encourage you to respond to the Lord, who has been generous to you. Although we have enough, praise God, to provide for the needs of our church and many things that are taking place, I often wonder, how much further could the kingdom reach? How much more could be gained for his glory if we were to respond radically in the way that God longs for us to. Maybe you've been operating on a different economic principle, and maybe this chart will help you think for yourself. Every week, I could give this. And if I did, maybe God would be closer to the front of the line of the collectors. Because the reality is, it's only by His help I have anything at all. And that would be true. And there are sufficient promises in the scriptures to say that this is proven true over and over. And some of you have found it to be true. And I'm always encouraged as I also walk this path, as I also give as God has given. But before I wrap up, I wanted to point out, and again, I'm sorry my slides weren't with us today, but there's three things I want to invite you to think about and consider when you make your giving commitment to the Lord, even now, for the year ahead. First of all, we respond to the needs of the facility itself. Not first, but we just do. We got to pay the electricity. We got to pay to get things fixed. We got to make things happen here so that the building doesn't fall down on us. And that costs money. The building that's now literally getting older than some of you in this room. And that's a reality. And the second thing is we have missionaries we support. Four different families. We're going to pray for them today, especially Robin, whose update is in the bulletin. And we want to continue to sustain the ministry that goes beyond us. And also we support some of our church plants, and we support some of the missions that the church offers. The missions convention is going to highlight some of those. I invite you to come. I'd love to talk to you about that. It's going to be a great event in Roblin on that Friday night and Saturday till midday. And then thirdly, there are crises that come up. And of course, you've been watching the news. You know that. You've seen water and earth masses moving and all kinds of horrific pain and suffering and loss that that brings. In fact, I just want to make an appeal for one of those things. We have a pretty rapidly growing ministry in the country of Cuba. And they were hit very, very hard, obviously. They were in the middle of that path, but just came through with Irma and its sister hurricanes that followed immediately in its wake. And they've gotten hit pretty hard. And for a very poor country, that just about wipes them out. And World Hope Canada, that we know so well, that we support regularly, is going to take some trips down there. And they're interested in any of our folks and any of our churches who want to not just give, but actually go on trips, because very soon they're going to organize trips of lay volunteers to go and do repair work, building work, helping work, giving out food, emergency supplies, so you don't have to be, you know, thick to be able to do this. But if you have a heart to want to express care for people and to give generously by even going, talk to me, because they're taking applications now. They want to take as many people as are willing to go, and Cuba is a place that we can easily come and go from as Canadians. And so if you're interested, please speak with me after the service, because they want to organize those right away. But all these ways we give, and what a blessing it is to be able to do so. Let nothing interrupt the flow, not just through us so that we can feel good about ourselves and call ourselves a strong institution, but because we also want to see the channels of God's generosity widen for us too. Our musicians are coming, and we're going to sing a song, and as we do, we're going to take our offering. And I want to encourage you to think about what God is calling you to give, not just today, but in all the weeks that lie ahead. As you, like Peter, are supportive of those who ask of you and affirm the need for us to give, just as the Lord Himself was poured out for us, that whenever you're asked and I'm asked and we're asked, we may respond generously, and that indeed we would be those people who prioritize the first fruits of our labor and our benefits for His purposes. Our ushers are coming. Let us pray. Father, You are a generous King, and You are not a King who takes. We don't give so that we can win your favor and stay in your good graces. That's what the rest of the kingdoms do. We give because our hearts overflow that you have given more than we could ever pay already. And we want so much for the knowledge of that joy to extend around the earth. Take our gifts, we pray. Use them that your generous kingdom may grow here, in our neighborhood, in our friendship circles, in our province, in our world. Oh Lord, bless and multiply every good gift as it is giving out of grateful heart for you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So grateful for what you've given. We're grateful for an opportunity to give back to you. Thank you for your forgiveness to us that clears the path by which every spiritual debt is paid. How amazing it is to walk in that kind of peace. We also pray for your peace to be poured out around the earth. For you are able to use not just the missions of our church in places like Albania, but even in places where you are already worshipped and people cluelessly walk by churches every day. We ask for your glorious kingdom to shine brighter and fuller across this place that you've given us to live now, here in Milliken. It's part of Markham and Scarborough and all of our neighboring townships, which we call our home in this life. We pray for the forces at work all around us, and even as we prepare to take our prayer walk this afternoon, we ask that you would go before us, give us the opportunity to shine brilliantly for you, the love and hope that you offer. We also pray for places we will never be invited into or welcomed in. Places near and far where there is great turmoil and trouble, where there is pain and suffering. For those who are made to suffer because of the taking of others, we ask, O God, that you would deliver from danger and distress. For those who are victimized by takers, we pray that you would make a way of deliverance. whether it be as simple as control of employees in manipulative and abusive ways to the vile, vile presence of human trafficking. Oh God, have mercy upon this earth. Bring freedom as you so wonderfully and creatively can in every land. We're thinking especially today of your servant Robin in Nagoya, Japan. Father, we pray that as he works in ministry there, teaching English, sharing music, writing and drafting anime comics, through all these ways, may the brilliance of your hope shine brighter, and may people be drawn in to discover the joy of who you are and what it means to have your help. We also pray for your church in all parts of the world where it is made to suffer for your name. Oh God, provide for those who cry out to you and have no other means of support, be it financial or emotional, social, or any other kind of need. Provide for them, we pray, just as you have provided for us. We're not worthy of better treatment than them, and so we pray that you would do gloriously for them. We pray for those in our own church fellowship who struggle under the weight of pain, weakness, fear, need. For our homebound members, we ask your strength to grant in Norma, Cluster, Dorothy, Avis, Rita. Those who have encountered physical struggles in these days, we think of Cynthia, Kai, others who come to our mind even now. Lord, grant your healing power to these. We would also be bold to pray for these whose names we have placed on these I pages. We remember them now, asking for your intervention specifically for Paul, Esther, Kevin, Joanne, Gerald, Mary, Linda, Jean, Alicia, Kevin, Harry, Daniel, Dwayne, Raymond, Rudy, Jasmine, Sylvia, Elizabeth, Godwin, Hugh, Clark, Carlton, Esme, Jermaine, Wilton, Daryl, Chris, Joseph, Lorene, Dersel, Jackie, Khalil, Samantha, Darlene, Sean, Shane, Kyle, Eric, Ryan, Nicole, Ian, Kay, Hammond, Arden, Sasha, Ranny, Juliet, Carol, Kelly, Kelsey, Steve, Ian, Keith, Eva, Marty, Glasspool, Kingsley, Daniel, Susan, Neil, Cindy, Daniel. Oh God, let your eyes be upon these, we pray specifically by name, boldly knowing that you will meet them today. Give us courage to continue our prayers for them every day, to see what wondrous thing you would do, what pieces of silver you might place in the fish of the things they work so hard to get themselves. Oh God, how good it is to hear your Spirit's voice to us today. Never depart from us, great lover of our soul. Draw near to us and help us to discern your way. In every action we take, in every attitude we embrace, in every choice we make, for you are the one who is worthy of the first fruits of our lives and the devotion of all that we are. We pray, even as we walk with you, Jesus, the words you have taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but lead us. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
He is able, more than able than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able.
going to ask that our ushers bring forward the offerings we give, even as we stand and sing the doxology. Take our hymnals, please, and while we're standing, sing our closing hymn, a hymn of dedication of ourselves, one another, and our whole lives to God, number 458, Take My Life, number 458. Some things that got missed, and thank you for your patience, but I know there were many announcements.